productive healing, productive pain, productive discomfort allows for healing and compassion and for change. And that can only happen if we're willing to look at our full circumstance, including our past.
Hey, yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing.
Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Productive and Unproductive Discomfort. And to start this episode off, I want to let you know how much positive reviews for this podcast really do help. It really helps other people feel confident that what they are listening to is going to be helpful. And I believe in the ministry that we are accomplishing here. I believe in ADHD education and in faith and in that community of putting those two things together. And so if you would please take a moment, even pause this episode and go over to Apple Podcast Reviews or wherever you may be listening to rate this podcast positively and put down some of your thoughts. There are no thoughts that are too simple. Every positive interaction people can have with this podcast is really going to help us grow and help get the word out to more people. Think on your experience as you've been navigating ADHD and think how maybe you feel a little bit less alone now that we have been talking with each other through this podcast. That's the greatest gift you could give this week, and I thank you in advance for doing that. So let's go ahead and hop into this podcast episode. I was listening to Jennifer Finlayson Fife on the airplane on my way home from San Diego, and she was being interviewed all about anxiety. She brought up this really interesting point about navigating productive and unproductive discomfort. And it honestly is something that I talk a lot about on the podcast and with my one-on-one clients, as well as in Mindful. Because if we can't manage our emotions, then most of the time we are running from them, we are buffering, or we are trying to distract ourselves from them. And what ends up happening is that they come back. They come back in energy that we lash back, you know, out with our spouse or at work or with our kids. They come in illness where our body starts to get sick or burnt out. If we don't process those emotions, we become numb and start to disassociate. We also just don't feel good overall. And we start to hold too many things inside, and it just feels like ick after a while. So acknowledging the fact that there are different kinds of discomfort and that we can use discomfort to our advantage without making it mean that something is always wrong is a huge shift in my life, and I'm hoping that will be a huge shift in yours. I have had my own slew of personal experiences and challenges in this arena, and I hope that maybe starting to highlight a few of those with you today will spark something in your mind so that you can also see that there is some navigating to do in this particular area. I play the guitar and I sing, and I did a lot more of that back in my college days. So when I first picked up a guitar, my college roommate had a guitar she brought from California. She didn't know how to play really well, but she wanted to play. And honestly, the only music that it was making was every time it would fall on the ground and, you know, that kind of sounded like a cat. That's not what I was going for, but the guitar strings would resonate and it would make a terrible sound every time it would slide off of her dresser or slide off of her from standing up against her bed. And so one day I just got it in my mind that I was going to learn how to play that. guitar. And so I got online and started to learn some guitar chords, and then eventually started writing my own music. That led me to performing on stage, performing small groups and big groups. And I experienced both productive and unproductive discomfort every time I stepped on the stage. And it's not something that I have ever really gotten to the bottom of or really developed fully, because productive discomfort would get me onto the stage. I was excited to perform, but I was also terrified because I suffer from something that we termed the Gardner curse, which is my maiden name, that so many of us in our family, when we would get on stage, we'd completely blank the words. My brother was in a band for a long time, and he would blank the guitar chords and sequences. And so I knew that that became a reality, and there really wasn't much to stop it with the tools that I had at the time. So my productive discomfort would think positively and would help me to actually get up on stage and start to sing and start to perform. But my unproductive discomfort would cause me to breathe very shallow, to not perform to my fullest. I was very, very nervous, and so my hands would sweat, and I couldn't be as present with me in the audience because my body was experiencing a level of anxiety that I didn't know how to regulate. And now I understand why, even after, I don't know, 12 years of performing, I still felt like I couldn't control that. It's because my nervous system was out of whack. It wasn't regulated, and I didn't have any tools to help me regulate, to visualize, to help my heart rate slow down, to help me learn how to take deep breaths when I was feeling anxiety. And so that productive and unproductive discomfort almost was happening, you know, at the exact same time. Looking back on that, if I were to start to perform on stage again, I would probably get a coach. I'd probably get some support to help me visualize and to know what to do when my body was automatically feeling anxiety in order to help myself ground better. I know for sure I'd have more tools now than I had then. And also, I recognize that working with a partner on my goals, specifically when it comes to nervous system regulation, would be a very welcomed, consistent exercise to have in my life, so that when I got on stage, I could use that discomfort. I could use my body responding the way it did pretty automatically to anxiety in order to help me to have a better time on stage, to enjoy and to perform the songs that I'd written in a better light. And who knows, maybe someday I will do that. I am also, as I've mentioned before, served a mission. And one of the harder things was that my trainer left, and then I was given a brand new missionary, a trainee. And, you know, at the time it felt like a really big honor and a huge responsibility, and I really didn't want to mess it up. I was very much, and as we talked about last week, in that wrought of iron faith. And so giving myself some flexibility, time, patience was not nearly as accessible as it is now. I can allow myself to grow into things so much better because I know that I'm not going to die if I don't grow fast enough, or I'm not going to disappoint someone. If I do disappoint someone, then they've got bigger issues. But I think as a 22-year-old brand new missionary, relatively brand new missionary, I really felt like there's going to be something bad on the other side of not being perfect, not having my Spanish down perfect, not showing this trainee perfect. And I think that it worked out okay in the long run, but I think of how in the missions now they're giving missionaries so much more grace and compassion, and how much more that would have helped me if we could only take these more matured and developed brains and bring them back to our, you know, 20, early 20 something selves, it would really help. But if you're listening to this and you're in your early 20s, you are already ahead of the game than I was, because hopefully you are allowing yourself the time necessary to learn and to grow. There was a sister in our ward, her name was Norma, and I called her, and she knew some English, but she was like our first appointment that we were going to be having. And I remember calling Norma and trying to communicate in Spanish and her hopping into English, because I just was not understanding well. And I really did want to learn Spanish. And so, you know, while I was appreciative at that point, I became frustrated with myself that, you know, if all these people are going to keep switching into English, remember I served in Minnesota, then how am I ever going to learn this language? And I felt like it makes me look bad in front of my new trainee. Yeah, there were so many negative thoughts. And so that discomfort, while it was uncomfortable, it did push me to continue to learn and to grow, and became productive as I started training this brand new missionary. I am really, like I said, I'm really thankful now that I have better tools. I would have taken care of myself a lot better then. At that time, we were living with English sisters, and I remember one of my roommates, her name was Sister Kim. She's from Cambodia. And so she had a scripture that came to mind, and she said, "Sister, remember to not run faster than you have strength." And she was quoting Mosiah 4:27. "And see that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, and thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order." Sometimes we might feel like we have to run faster than we have strength in order to be diligent and in order to put things into order. But this scripture says, hey, be patient with yourself. You know, wait on yourself, wait on the Lord, trust in the Lord, and let time pass. And while you're doing those things, life is going to fall into place as you are working toward the prize. But it's not that things are going to happen all at once. It's not that you're going to make that progress. You're going to learn Spanish in one day from the time that your trainer leaves and the very next day when your trainee comes. That's not how this works. Don't run faster than you have strength, but be patient and diligent. You're going to win the prize, and just let things happen in their particular order. If discomfort can be used productively or unproductively, then let's learn how to use it to our advantage, right? And part of that is helping our body understand that it's not going to die, even when it feels like it is, when it is in discomfort. I love where this is going. We need to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I'd like to introduce you to Mindful, my ADHD group coaching program, a lifeline for those navigating the complexities of ADHD. At Mindful, we provide you with valuable tools to manage ADHD symptoms, emotional support and understanding, and a non-judgmental community that gets what you're going through. Mindful is here to support you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful today to start your path toward a more mindful life. As we were preparing for Christmas this past year, I knew that many of my siblings and I were going to be getting together and my family. And so about a month before Christmas, we decided to talk about some of the essential conversations, crucial conversations that would help us enjoy our time together more, including what Christmas would look like with a variety of different belief systems, what Christmas would look like and the holidays would look like with different schedules and dietary restrictions, with anxiety and ADHD and people traveling with rental cars and all of the things. And a lot of those conversations were not comfortable, but because we turned them into something that would be productive, we actually ended up having a really nice holiday together. We didn't have to worry about, you know, trying to figure out or read the room we had already done that. We had already set expectations. And while there were a couple instances where we talked about things again, the majority of the time was already well established. And so we were able to just really enjoy being present and with each other. When we can identify our triggers, it will help us overcome or set ourselves up for success more when anxiety is happening. And the more good we get at doing this, the more tools we will have, the better support we can give ourselves, even when we can't plan for an anxiety or worry-ridden time. Now, there is definitely a power in saying no. We can say no and acknowledge that we need to make choices sometimes that prioritize our mental well-being. It's okay and it's important to respect our personal boundaries and the importance of self-care. We don't have to be pushing ourselves into this, you know, discomfort all of the time in the name of making it productive discomfort. We don't have to be pushing ourselves to a point where we are running faster than we have strength. And it's okay to acknowledge that some of the suffering, oftentimes that we don't choose, can be used for our good in the long run if we allow it to. And part of that is actually acknowledging that it's hard, which is interesting. We think sometimes, like I didn't write anything negative in my mission journal because I felt like if I did, then I wasn't being a good missionary. I wasn't being optimistic. I wasn't being, you know, I wasn't relying faithfully upon God. And I totally misunderstood that principle. I wish I could go back and vent and talk about the feelings I was having, the frustrations I was having, and not from a place of complaining or being ungrateful, but from a place of expressing and processing emotions that were really important to me. Have you ever thought of faith as a tool to navigate anxiety? The idea of faith in general means that there's something that we don't know. We can't anticipate fully. We have to exercise hope and trust in something, leaning upon uncertainty. And for those of us who operate with anxiousness and worry whenever there is uncertainty, this can be really, really difficult. The problem that happens a lot of the time is that we often will create a false sense of security, a false sense of power, a false sense of, what's that, in-chargeness, of control, that's the word. And it totally blows up in our face when, because it is false, when we try to convince ourselves otherwise. When I'm working with clients who are very inflexible, often because of the trauma that they've been through in their life, they want to swing the pendulum from being completely unsafe and feeling unsafe to completely 100% safe. And so that will often come across as hypervigilance, as, you know, perfectionism, as trying to make the situation next to perfect as possible. And it ends up burning them out, burning their loved ones out, and really causing some major struggles within their relationships. And all of this is stemming from a false sense of security. All right, let's take an example. Okay, let's say that you grew up in an unsafe, unprotected, fend for yourself type of childhood. And as a part of that, you learned how to make ramen noodles so that at least you would have that certainty that you could get a meal. And ramen was inexpensive and it was simple enough for you to make as a kid. But maybe you have that association emotionally and those memories emotionally tied to this basic meal. Maybe you even remember being a child a little bit too young, in your opinion, getting to the stove, and you remember burning yourself on the pots or burning yourself on the hot water. And that was all because there was no one else to do it for you, to help you out. But it was all that you had. Now let's talk about, for example, my family. My family didn't have a lot growing up. but we did have love. And ramen noodles were like a favorite after church lunch for me, especially during the winter rainy season in San Diego. And so when I think of that, I think of my mom helping me pour out the water. I think of there always being, you know, enough ramen. And I remember learning how to make double and then feed it to my siblings, not because I was spending more myself, but because I was learning independence. And now even with my own family, we enjoy ramen noodles on a snowy day here in Utah. And while it is an inexpensive meal, and while it is not very nutrient dense, it still has a positive thought about it, right? It's not something that feels threatening or unsafe. So what happens if your kids come to my home and I feed them ramen noodles and your body tells you that that was irresponsible of me, that I should have given them a more nutrient dense meal, or I should have showed up better for them, or I should have, you know, given them at least some protein or some veggies or fruits on the side with it, which I probably would do. But what if in your body, all of a sudden, your unhealed trauma is making this present reality look different than it may look from my perspective? And what if our relationship changes, or you feel like you can't trust me anymore because I fed your kids ramen noodles? Now you have a discomfort from your past, which is traumatic and awful and that you never deserved. And now that discomfort and that trauma is unproductively impacting not only you still, but your children and your relationships with loved ones. And that isn't helping you progress or move forward. Now, if we take a productive energy on this and you start to have permission to have compassion on your younger self and to grieve what they went through and to feel the sadness of what it's like to be a child that isn't given the love and the attention that they deserve. And you learn to heal that former version of you. And then little bit by little bit, you're willing to integrate ramen noodles into your life without it meaning that something is wrong or that someone is neglecting you or your children. The ramen noodles become neutral. They're just an option and they no longer hold so much weight. Now, this is a productive discomfort. Now the discomfort that you went through in your past is now helping you heal and helping give your kids an experience that you didn't have as a child. And this is how this pendulum usually swings when we're in unproductive discomfort and productive. We try to swing it all the way. So we just cut it out and we're saying, all right, no ramen noodles in our house ever. When you feel not protected, when you feel powerless and you associate that powerlessness with the aspect of your life and you don't want to have that powerlessness anymore, you swing the pendulum all the way to the other side and you say, all right, no more, enough, no more ramen noodles. I'm going to take back my power. I'm going to control the situation more than I ever have. And in an effort to protect and to control, we actually push this generational trauma without ever healing it. It just looks a little bit different. So whether it was only ramen noodles when we were young or no ramen noodles when we're older, it's the same pain that is fueling the actions. And that is unproductive. Productive healing, productive pain, productive discomfort allows for healing and compassion and for change. And that can only happen if we're willing to look at our full circumstance, including our past. I love this subject so much. I need to take a quick break and then we'll get right back to the show. We've established that melatonin supplements are not very helpful for our hormones long term, especially for our kids and teens.
Obviously, our number one goal is to help our body function at its optimal performance. Sunset is a supplement I've been taking over the years. It is an omega-3 supplement with really powerful tocotrienols. This helps with inflammation as well as heart health, and it's something I can highly recommend for sleep. But sometimes we just need the help right away. I've told you the story about my daughter at 3 years old getting on prescription medication so that she and I could finally get some sleep and the difference that that made. I can now introduce you to a non-medication treatment that also has proven very beneficial for many people. Kids Calm is a melatonin-free, delicious fruit gummy. There's a triple threat of calmness here for your kiddos and teens. We've got maisonol, magnesium, and 5-hydroxytryptophan. This will support them in their serotonin levels and put them into a lovely, serene slumber. Lastly, for us adults trying to get to that baseline sleep, I would recommend Sleep Plus. This is a natural supplement taken from non-GMO corn that encourages melatonin production naturally in our body. It's been clinically shown to improve our sleep quality, help us sleep deeper, fall asleep faster, and enjoy a more rejuvenating REM and deep sleep. I will link all of these products below. You'll get $10 off your initial first orders of each product that you order that's new. There is a family pack as well if you want to combine the Kids Calm and the Sleep Plus. I'll also have one with all three. Feel free to check out the supplements for yourself, read more about them, or just hop right into the shopping cart and add or delete as you would like, personalized for your family needs. If you have any questions, feel free to DM me or send me an email at info@CamdenADHDCoaching.com. Back to the show. Not all productive discomfort has to come from making sense of the past. Some things just happen in the moment, currently, and we develop tools to help us make the best of them. I have found that feeling the emotion first and discovering what emotion it is that's inside of my body really helps in order for me to move from a place of unproductive discomfort into making it more worthwhile and productive. So that's the first key here. But I love the Bible story of Joseph in Egypt, because he was dealt so many cards where he had to take something that was completely out of his control and make it into something better. His brother sold him, and he made something out of that and gained favor in the sight of Potiphar. And then Potiphar threw him into jail, and then he gained favor by serving the people in the jail. And then eventually, this helped him gain the attention of the Pharaoh, which eventually saved his family during a time of famine. Talk about productive discomfort. So we can take that element of faith and turning to the Lord and positivity and taking massive discomfort and what's that word? Making it worth it, like consecrating it to better things to come. We can do that in small ways in our life. It's the whole rainy days syndrome thing, right? Like if we just look at the rainy day and we're always wanting to go outside and that's our only idea of having fun or making the most of the day, then we're just going to be disappointed. But if we can cozy up and, you know, make some hot chocolate and get a good book or write that story that we've always been wanting to write or journal, then we can make something beautiful out of a rainy day circumstance. We really haven't tied this into ADHD very much this episode. Hopefully you're already doing that on your end, but just to be a little bit more direct, I want you to think about all the different elements that we have to navigate. Time blindness, rejection sensitivity, attention to detail, executive dysfunction. All the different elements in our life give us opportunities to feel discomfort. In fact, we can anticipate that we will be feeling uncomfortable quite frequently in our life as we're navigating ADHD in a world of neurotypical, in a society that values neurotypical minds over neurodivergent minds. And I don't even know if that's someone's fault. I think it's just what's been passed down from the generations, and we're finally starting to understand that our brain is also valid. And we can anticipate that in the process of trying to figure all of this out, discomfort is going to come. My husband could tell that I wasn't quite myself when he came home last night from work.
And I had my brain all set out with some tasks that I had to do for my business that evening. He and I both knew that this evening was dedicated to me getting some work done. And so as part of that, I needed to go pick up our groceries. And when I left, I said, "Hey, don't wait up with me for me. Just go ahead and get the kids in bed." And when I came home, all of the kids were still awake. They had a dance that they were going to perform for us. They had these cute banners and posters up in the hallway. And I was feeling really frustrated because what my brain thought was going to happen didn't actually happen. And it had nothing to do with bitterness toward my kids. Their message and their dance was very cute. It had everything to do with me, with ADHD, having a plan in mind and things not going the way that I wanted them to go. And I was having a lot of different feelings based upon the whole running a household. And I was having a lot of worries and some concerns about some of the things that our family was going through on top of that. When I came home and I was feeling frustrated after grocery shopping and we finally did get the kids to sleep, after some time, my husband did say, "Is there something that we need to talk about?" He's been very, he's an amazing support and we have learned and grown together very well. So, it was the right thing to say to me. And I was able to express that I was just feeling discouraged on a multitude of different elements. And, we were able to take that discomfort and that frustration of me not being able to get back home, unload the groceries, and then get right back into work as I had planned, that we could make it worth something. And so after I let him know about my discouragement and the things that I was feeling, he gave me some space and we were able to talk things through. And then the next morning after he had exercised, he came to me and he said, "Here are a few of my thoughts." And it was so beautiful to hear from him and to hear how much he cared about me and he validated me and he saw the struggles and he reminded me that I don't have to go through those things alone. And he poured into me his confidence as well as his help and his support in tangible ways. We took something that was uncomfortable and it could have turned and it would have turned in past years into something that was very unproductive and just was angry and have feelings and then it ended. But instead, we were willing to make it productive. We were willing to work through it. And honestly, there were many elements of this whole scenario that I could feel were my ADHD. The shift in expectations was really hard. The transition was really hard. The communication breakdown, time scarcity that I was feeling was really difficult. So many of those elements of ADHD impacted why I was feeling the way I was, but I didn't make it mean that I was wrong for feeling those things. And he didn't make it mean that I was less than for feeling those things. This is our situation. I have ADHD. He doesn't have ADHD, but we love each other and we love our family. So we get to work and we make our current circumstance, we look at it with true eyes. We look at it with the real lens of what we're going through. We're not trying to be poisonously positive and deceive ourselves into what our truth is. We see our truth as what it is, and then we work together to improve it. That is productive discomfort. That is understanding that ADHD will impact our family, and we're not going to pretend like it's not going to. We can anticipate it will impact us. We don't make that mean that we're wrong or bad. We just understand that that is the context by which we grow in our family. To finish off here, there was another last point that I think is a really great thing to bring up when it comes to productive and unproductive discomfort. And this revolves around anxiety, which is what Jennifer Finlayson Fipe was actually talking about in the episode. And that is sometimes we can't differentiate between what is worry and anxiety or legitimate need for concern or a prompting from God or the Holy Ghost. And I had some insight this weekend that I thought I'd share with you. I left to California and I was hoping to bring my daughter with me. We're going to have like a mother-daughter trip, but unfortunately she got sick with a stomach bug the day before we left. And so she was unable to go, which is a whole nother subject of emotional dysregulation with kiddos with ADHD, which is so sad and hard. And I was feelings about leaving her and my other three kids with my husband. It was, the feelings were not that he was incapable. The feelings were not that things weren't going to be okay. All of those things I knew cognitively were going to be just fine. He's a very equal partner in our relationship and an incredible father. But there was this desire for me to say, I'm sorry that I'm leaving. I'm sorry that I'm still going to go through with this. There was some things that I needed to get done while I was in California. And I just, you know, I knew it was going to be worth it in the end. But it was brought to my attention by one of my mentors on her podcast that saying I'm sorry isn't going to actually leave him feeling happy or satisfied or comfortable, nor will it help me actually express what I am feeling. And so I worked backward and I realized what I was feeling is a great deal of gratitude to have a partner who not only was willing, but was so capable so that I could have a day to work and a day to get work done and a day to connect with my family out of state. I was feeling so utterly grateful. When I changed that I'm sorry to thank you, it allowed him to feel a different emotion on his side, on the receiving side of that thank you, as well as me feel a different emotion on this side. The circumstance, I didn't make it bad. I didn't hurt someone's feeling. I have no problem saying I'm sorry about things, but the true emotion was a matter of thank you. Thank you for showing up for our kids. Thank you for taking care of them. And I take it a step further, and the sadness or the discomfort that I was actually feeling was the fact that I wasn't going to be with them, that I wasn't going to be the one holding my daughter who was sick or comforting my daughter who was sick. And so the negative feeling, the discomfort was in sadness of separation. It wasn't about me leaving my husband to the wolves, you know, that wasn't the point. And so through saying thank you, I took this discomfort of not being able to be with my kids during that time, connecting with them, and changed it into a productive energy that allowed my husband to feel seen and appreciated through the choice of words that I used. It taught me a lot about anxiety, because I could, if I would have said sorry, if I would have leaned into I'm setting him up for failure, he has to take care of these sick kids, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just leaving and not taking care of my family. And if that was the kind of energy I took onto the plane, that would have caused anxiety, the emotion of anxiety, which would have brought on the action of worry, and I would have gone around and around and around, and I guarantee I would have not been able to be as present or as productive or as helpful to myself and to my loved ones on my trip to California. But because I was able to turn the discomfort of leaving my husband with the sick kids into a time to say thank you, it became productive for him. It became productive for me. Now, oftentimes, if we can't trace it back to a feeling or a thought that creates that emotion, that's when I do one of two things. I either ask more questions and do more research, and not from a place of worry and anxiety, but of truly trying to find answers. Or I trust that it's coming from God and I follow the intuition and the prompting, the gut. Most of the time when I follow the gut, knowing that it's usually going to be something good from God, that's another, you know, calibration or whatever for me to think about. then I can usually go through with whatever I'm being prompted to do, knowing that it's going to be good or it's just not going to matter. And then I can get it off my plate. When it comes to feeling kind of anxious about something and needing to answer more questions, that is when I do more research. And like I mentioned before, the energy or the fuel that is fueling this research is not one of anxiousness, of worry, of doomsday, of catastrophizing, essentially making up the story in the future before it actually happens, when you're actually alive and well. A good example might be a school trip and feeling anxious that it's going to be a sleepover trip for the band. And feeling anxious because you realize we don't know what the sleeping arrangements are or what parents are going to be chaperoning or where they're going to be staying. And then we realize, okay, I know and trust this adult, or I can email this adult, or I can meet this adult ahead of time and get to know them and see what they're like. Do that. That's me doing more research and finding more answers. I can ask the teacher or wait for the answers that say, sleeping conditions, girls are over here, boys are over here, these are the parents, like all of that. I'm asking more questions, I'm doing more research until I have more information. Once again, this is getting out of the drama and into the math. And the more mathy we often get, the more factiness we get, oftentimes the lower our anxiety level becomes because we understand. We're not just guessing about things that are important, like who's taking care of our children on a trip, a band trip, right? We can anticipate discomfort coming up. And while we don't have to change at the snap of a finger from an unproductive, you know, discomfort to a productive, that there is hope and there is a way to eventually make that transition. Moments in my life when this has happened. You probably have obvious moments in your life when this has happened. And we see evidence of it in the scriptures as well as in my clientele. Hopefully over time you start to learn how to recognize it and then how to start to shift and then how to get into a more productive energy. Productivity has nothing to do with worth. However, it often helps us feel more alive, helps us feel more loved, helps us feel more helpful and fulfilled in our life, no matter our circumstance. For all the rest of the times when discomfort seems to peek its head around the corner, remember this, that we can use that discomfort to help us heal, or we can help that discomfort to help us move forward. Please remember how much I love you, and I am always, always cheering you on. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called the ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at the Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.